Hey, this is Tanner Sherlock. I'm the pastor at Shatner State Chi Alpha, and this is our podcast where our mission is to make disciples who then make disciples. Be sure and subscribe so you can get our content every time we post, and I pray that this message blesses you today. God bless.
Welcome to the podcast today. So I actually recorded this entire thing yesterday, and then I paused and I came back and I went to upload it and it was silent. So it recorded, I have the recording, but for some reason it was just silent. So this is actually the second take. I just really want this content to get out to you. And really where this is coming from today's what I came up with was, you know, I was kind of thinking about, I'm looking at and I'm, you know, in bringing in content and watching stuff and observing what's kind of going on globally. And it's hard to deny that there hasn't been a uptick of talking about and showing and focusing on the demonic lately. And now, so I was thinking about doing a podcast, talking about that a little bit, but really 6 months ago, I did a very long, extensive podcast about, spiritual warfare. And I feel like I covered everything that I absolutely needed to cover within that. And so I was thinking about talking about something a little bit different today, but still including that. And I started to get a little bit, convicted about it. And, I started thinking about it and I was starting to realize that, in Philippians, Paul is talking about that we need to focus on whatever is good, whatever is noble, whatever is pure, whatever is good, talking about focusing on the positive. And I love Philippians. Philippians is my favorite book of the Bible, probably. If not, it's got to be top three at least. And part of the reason I love it is because the entire theme of Philippians is talking about our focus and choosing joy in our lives over focusing on the hardship, focusing on the what's going wrong. And the reason this is so powerful, in my opinion, is because Paul wrote this from prison to the church in Philippi. And so he's writing to the church from prison in a situation that was far worse than theirs. And he's telling them, reminding them to focus on what is good, to keep their focus on God, and to rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. He literally says that. Rejoice in the Lord always, always. And so he's saying that from prison, he doesn't go into this many words, but basically what he's saying is even from prison, I am capable of rejoicing in the Lord and therefore able to focus on whatever is good, whatever is pure, whatever is noble and all that stuff. And so while taking that into mind, him in prison telling the church to focus on what is good, so then us in America, I'm looking at it and I'm thinking, okay, so how do I muster up the same kind of energy that Paul mustered up when he wrote Philippians? And so I was thinking about it and I was like, man, we're talking about the demonic. We're showing about the demonic. There's so much more spiritual warfare just flat out going on. It's getting crazy. And so then what would Paul say to the church in America? I really think Paul would write something. I mean, obviously he's going to address specific issues, particularly idolatry. But anyway, I do think somewhere in that letter that Paul would write to the American church, there would be something about keeping our focus on what we need to focus on. And so in light of that, in light of the focus, but also pertaining to the spiritual warfare and pertaining to all of that, how do we shift our focus? How do we perform spiritual warfare without focusing on spiritual warfare, without focusing on demonic? Well, now just kind of thinking through it, I've personally had to do this in the last week. How do we focus on spiritual warfare? How do we do spiritual warfare without focusing on the demonic? Really, it comes down to anointing, prayer, focusing on God, the opposite of it. And so on that theme of things and on that trail, on that rabbit trail, I should say, of thought, my brain kind of came to, okay, how did I learn how to anoint things with oil? What is anointing oil? How is it important? Because originally when I first learned about spiritual warfare, you know, I had somebody come to me and basically say, have you anointed your house with oil? And I was like, I have no clue what you're talking about. I didn't even know anointing oil was really a thing. And so I had to go through and research and figure out for myself what anointing oil was, why was it important, all of that. I think American Christians, a lot of times when we talk about spiritual warfare and anointing things, we immediately go to holy water. And I'm not 100% sure about the theology of holy water to the Catholic Church. However, outside of the Catholic Church, there's no such thing as holy water. In the Bible, there's no such thing as holy water. At least as far as I know. If I'm wrong, feel free, reach out to me, shoot me a message, show me where my theology is off on this. But I see time and time again the theology that talks about anointing oil and anointing with oil. And maybe there was a shortage of oil at one point in time in the past and they just chose to use water. I don't know. Again, I don't know. I don't know the theology. I'm not trying to pretend like I do know the theology. Anointing oil has been a thing biblically throughout the entire Bible. It literally goes from, you know, talking in Samuel to, you know, all the way in Mark and James. And I mean, it's literally throughout the entire Bible. And so today I kind of wanted to take a little bit of our focus and focus on anointing. What is anointing? Why do we anoint? What is the point of anointing? What is my beliefs on it? You know, how does that pertain to us as Christians today? How does something that happened in Samuel pertain to an American Christian? And so, anointing oil is just an oil. And you can choose to use something more historically accurate, such as olive oil, or you can go a little different. I like to use something that's both historically accurate and as well smells good. And I use pomegranate oil. Pomegranate oil has a little bit more of a sweet smell to it. Basically, it's olive oil with a little bit of pomegranate added, basically. Long story short. That's what I like to use. However, biblically, there is an actual recipe of how to make your own anointing oil. And that's in Exodus 30, 22 through 33. And it basically goes in and it's saying using spices of myrrh, cinnamon, calamus, cassia, measuring it out by weight and a gallon of olive oil. I mean, you could probably proportion it and figure out exactly how much each of these, how much of each of these ingredients you would need. But basically, it goes through and it literally teaches you how to make the exact same anointing oil that Moses was instructed to make from the Lord. So you can even go in and make that anointing oil if you wanted to. And I mean, and maybe there is some power to that. I haven't, I guess, in my belief system or how I look at anointing oil in the New Testament, I don't see the necessity to create this specific anointing oil. And maybe that's just my bias because, it smells weird. It was a very pungent anointing oil. And that's part of my reasoning and my thought process is that anointing oil back then was used to cover a lot of things. And so it was a very pungent oil. And that's kind of why I choose today to use an anointing oil for me that I like the smell of. And we don't have as many issues with smells. And again, maybe I'm wrong. My theology could be off and maybe we do need to make this specific anointing oil that's given to us in Exodus 30. Maybe we do need to use that specific anointing oil, but I really don't think we do. I think the oil isn't as significant as to what it represents. And I think in Christianity, a lot of things come, in that same kind of package of what it represents. Because when we say the name of Jesus has power and authority, we're not talking literally the name Jesus because that's not what Jesus went by because there wasn't even a J back then. You know, we say it's more similar to Yeshua. And even the way I'm pronouncing it isn't correct because I'm American and I can't speak that language. But it's what that name represents. That name represents the authority. It represents the being of Jesus Christ. And so therefore Jesus has authority. Now, if I name my, you know, dog Jesus, does my dog have authority? No. The real, the one, the only Jesus, Yeshua, that's the authority. And so saying the name Jesus is speaking into existence the authority that that being has, that God has. And so I believe the anointing oil is kind of the same premise in that it's powerful because of what it represents. It's not powerful because somehow if you mix 12.5 pounds of myrrh, 6.25 pounds of fragrant cinnamon, 6.25 pounds of fragrant calamus. See, it's talking about fragrant cinnamon, fragrant calamus, and 12.5 pounds of cassia, and measured by the weight of the sanctuary shekel, also 1 gallon of olive oil. Take these ingredients to make an anointing oil, and therefore that oil has the power to bless things. No. God is the one who has the power to bless things. The oil is a representative of Jesus. It's a representative of God. And so, anyway. So in my opinion, in my beliefs, and the way I read the Bible, I really don't think it is that specific oil that it has blessing. I think that it covers a multitude of different things. And so, kind of jumping past what oil to choose, in my opinion, just go into your pantry and grab a bottle of, grab your olive oil, pour it into a smaller container. You can do like a little vial or something like that. That's what I use, is little vials. That way I can carry them in my pocket. Go and take that oil, and that's really the oil that you need to use. And we'll get into how to take olive oil and make it anointing oil. Because I do think there is a little bit there that needs to happen as far as representation and consecration of it or whatever. But again, it's not in the acts. It's in the representation of what it means to us as Christians. And so, kind of getting into that a little bit more, of the representation part of anointing oil. What is anointing oil and what does it represent? Well, again, I said that my belief in anointing oil is biblical. It's not something that we just make up in the modern Pentecostal church and we're like, oh, anointing oil, we came up with this thing. It's powerful. I'm sure if we did, there could still be power to it. However, anointing oil is actually a biblical thing. We go back to, I brought it up earlier, 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel 16:1 says, "Now the Lord said to Samuel, 'You have mourned long enough for Saul. I have rejected him as a king of Israel. So fill your flask with olive oil and go to Bethlehem. Find a man named Jesse who lives there, for I have selected one of his sons to be my king.'" So, in 1 Samuel, the Lord's saying to Samuel to take just regular old, grab a flask of olive oil. So, that is to be used to anoint David as king. And so, going back to it, it's just a flask of olive oil. It's that simple. And it is to be used to anoint David. So, olive oil. That's simple enough, right? So, it was used to anoint kings. The olive oil was used to anoint kings in 1 Samuel 16. It's also used as an offering to God. That takes place in Exodus 25:1-8. The Lord said to Moses, tell the people of Israel to bring me their sacred offerings, accept the contributions from all whom hearts are moved to offer them. Here's a list of sacred offerings you may accept from them. Gold, silver, bronze, purple, scarlet thread, fine linen, tan rams, blah, 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 and olive oil for the lamps. Spices for the anointing oil and fragrant incense. So again, it's an offering to God. Olive oil was acceptable within the Old Testament as an offering because it was to be used as an anointing oil. So it was an offering to God. It was important. It can also be used to commission someone into their calling, which is Leviticus 8:30 and Isaiah 61:1 through 3. Isaiah 61:1 through 3 basically says, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, for the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. Basically goes through and talks about how it's commissioning someone into their calling. It can be a symbol of blessing. So I think it's in Psalm 133. Talks about, for harmony is as precious as anointing oil that was poured over Aaron's head, that ran down his beard and onto the border of his robe. Harmony is as refreshing as the dew from Mount Hermon that falls on the mountains of Zion. And there the Lord has pronounced his blessing, even life everlasting. So it's a symbol of blessing and imparting that blessing. It's used for sanctification, which takes place in Matthew 6. It says, but when you fast, comb your hair and... When you fast, anoint your head and wash your face. Sorry, not comb your hair. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face. So it's talking about sanctification. It's a saying about making sure that you're sanctified. It could be used for deliverance and healing, which takes place in Mark 6:13. And they cast out many demons and healed many sick people, anointing them with olive oil. New Testament, olive oil. They weren't making the fragrant oil that we saw in Exodus. They were using olive oil. James 5:14 says, are any of you sick? You should call on the elders of the church to come and pray over you, anointing you with oil in the name of the Lord. So that's a biblical example of how we anoint with oil today. When our ministry is going, we have church or we have prayer time, and somebody comes to me and asks for prayer, we literally use James 5:14 as a model of anointing oil. And so when they come, if they're sick or they have issues, we as the elder, so as the pastor, I'm the elder of the church. When I pray over people, I anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. So, biblical example. It's used in worship, which takes place in Mark 14. Meanwhile, Jesus was in Bethany at the home of Simon, a man who had previously had leprosy. While he was eating, a woman came in with a beautiful alabaster jar of expensive perfume made from essence of nard. She broke open the jar and poured the perfume over his head. Some of those at the table were indignant. Why waste such expensive perfume? They asked. It could have been sold for a year's wages and the money given to the poor. So they scolded her harshly. Jesus replied, leave her alone. Why criticize her for doing such a good thing to me? You will always have poor among you, and you can help them whenever you want, but you will not always have me. She has done what she could and has anointed my body for burial ahead of time. I tell you the truth, wherever the good news is preached throughout the world, this woman's deed will be remembered and discussed. Which it is, and it has been. So it's used in worship. It's also used in preparing dead bodies too, but but that's another thing. It was used for the tabernacle, like I said, in Exodus. So it's also not used just to receive, and so that's where, you know, we can come into play with the offerings. We receive blessing from it. But we also can offer it up as a sacrifice, and we can offer up things. And so sometimes anointing things in oil is a way to signify that we're anointing it and we're consecrating it. We're dedicating it unto the Lord. And so it really comes to us that the importance of anointing and the anointing oil is really the representation of what it is. By me, you know, bathing in olive oil, that doesn't all of a sudden make me wholly anointed and consecrated into God. However, it is a signifying event. So it's like a wedding ring. You know, I'm married, whether I wear a wedding ring or not. However, the wedding ring is a symbol of my marriage to my wife. Getting baptized, you know, is the outward expression of the inward experience. So when we become a Christian, we're to be baptized. And so I feel like anointing oil kind of falls in that same realm. It's an expression of what is going on inside. It's an expression of the anointing that is occurring on the invisible realm, so to say. I know that sounds a little weird, but that's kind of my thought process. Is the importance of it is in what it represents, not what it actually is. And so therefore it represents what's going on the inside of our hearts. And so, or when it represents what God is doing in our lives. So, like I said, for me, using anointing oil, that's a little more getting into the practical. So we've looked at the biblical examples. So, like I said, I just take some olive oil. Doesn't need to be special. And I take it and I take the oil and I pray a blessing over the oil. And it's not an oil that I use for cooking or anything like that. So it's like when I have an oil in my cabinet, and so I can take that oil and I pour it into a vial, and that vial then is just used for anointing. It's not used for anything else within that vial. Is just used for anointing. And so I then pray over that vial, and I just pray that it would represent Christ's blood shed for me, that it would represent God's blessing over my life, and that this oil, I just pray, Lord, that I pray that this oil would represent your blessing, your anointing over all that it would come into contact with, as well as my offerings unto you, the things that I would like to sanctify to you, Lord. I pray this oil would represent that in my heart and in the physical realm, that it would help to solidify the consecration of what this item is and what the dedication is and what the blessing is upon what it touches. I basically just pray over that. and so then when someone comes up to me for prayer, I've already prayed over the oil. I've already, quote unquote, blessed the oil. So when someone comes to me, I don't re-pray that every time I go to use the oil. I use the oil and I put a little bit on my finger, and I then take a little bit on my thumb usually, or my pointer finger, and I rub it in on my thumb. And then when someone comes up to pray, I just kind of wipe the oil on their forehead, basically just to represent that I am anointing this person for blessing from God, in the same way that James talks about it, that we anoint them in oil in the name of the Lord. So I'm basically immediately, they're coming for prayer, I'm anointing this person immediately. I'm anointing them in the name of the Lord. And then I'm going to go ahead forward and pray for what they ask for prayer for. That makes sense. So you can put a little bit on yourself to basically say that I'm dedicating myself unto you and pray and ask for the anointing of the Lord. You can use a little olive oil or use the anointing oil before you go to bed to try to help you to have better dreams and just to kind of consecrate that time to God. You can use it for whatever you want to use it for. But I think it's important for us to not become ritualistic with it, because it's not a ritual that we need to perform. However, it is, again, that representation. So don't get ritualistic. It's like, oh, I'm praying for a blessing for somebody, and then, oh, I forgot to anoint them. That means the prayer's not coming true. That's not real. That's not it. So it's not like someone is or isn't going to get blessed because I anointed them with oil first. So it's not that. It's not ritualistic. And so just be careful to make sure that you don't get into a ritualistic mindset with the oil. The idea is anywhere that you want God's empowerment, God's impartation, God's anointing, God's blessing. You can use anointing oil to dedicate it into that. Typically, I do ask if someone, if I'm using like pomegranate oil, I ask if they're allergic to pomegranates before I anoint them. Because the last thing you want is to anoint somebody and then them just have this red streak across their forehead because they were allergic to olive oil or pomegranate or something like that. That for that reason, some pastors actually just use a basic mineral oil that nobody's really allergic to. And so that's a good idea too. If you're going to be anointing people and you're a pastor or a small group leader and you're going to be anointing people, a mineral oil works really well too. Again, it's not, yeah, I like to use olive oil just because I like to combine the historical with the modern practical. And so, I haven't ran into an issue of somebody being allergic to olive oil yet, but I've heard of pastors who've used myrrh and frankincense and people have been allergic to that and it's caused issues. So, but I digress. If you're using this for your personal use, just, you can use whatever oil you want to use. Olive oil doesn't really smell, and so it's a good oil to use. But yeah, so if you feel sick, you can anoint yourself and pray and ask for healing. If somebody else is sick, you can pray and you can anoint them and pray for healing and all that. Another area, that is, I think, important that I think all Christians should do anytime they move into a new place or anytime they start to see spiritual warfare start to pop up in their home is to go forward and anoint their house. Now, what you're doing is you're basically saying, Lord, I'm setting apart this home for your will to be done in it. And I am praying for your protection against any attacks from the enemy, that they wouldn't be allowed within the boundaries of this property, as well as I ask for your anointing, your blessing, and your consecration to fall upon this house. And so, that's basically what you're doing by anointing your house. I think it's important. I actually just did this a couple weeks ago because I was starting to see some spiritual warfare ramp up and I was like, nah, we gotta anoint this house. It actually might've just been a few days ago, but so with this, I like to kind of combine, Exodus and the importance of the, Jews basically marking their homes for Passover, where they took the blood of the lamb, and which was representative of Jesus. They took the blood of the lamb and they marked their doors, in order to signify that they were Jews so that the angel of death would pass over their house. So I kind of combined that thought process as well as everything I know with anointing. So basically what I do is, I start out with a prayer. Dear Lord, I just pray that this anointing oil would represent your power and that nothing could pass beyond the boundaries that are set up by this anointing oil that would want to cause harm to me or my family. And Lord, I pray that you would protect this house and that you would anoint it for your will to be done and only your will to be done. And Lord, I pray for your blessing to fall upon this house. And I just pray for your power within this home. And then what I do is, I go through and I take anointing oil on my finger and I put it on all four corners of, so like to say the front door, all four corners of the front door, and then over the top of the doorway, the same way that they did to signify the Passover. And with that, I ask, Lord, that you would protect this entryway, that nothing could enter into this home that would want to cause harm to me or my family, and that no person who would want to cause harm, no person who was affected by a demonic spirit would be capable of entering into this home, that if they did enter in this home, that the demonic spirit would stay outside and would not be able to pass through this doorway. I then go, and I do that, basically pray the same thing over the windows and the doorways into different rooms, and then the back door, and then I do the same thing in the basement, and basically the entry into up and down the basement. And part of the reason I do that is just because my thought process is, with some of that stuff, you know, I really want to consecrate my house, my entire house unto the Lord, not just the doorways. I want my entire home, top, bottom, you know, wall to wall, floor to ceiling, I want it to be consecrated unto the Lord. So I go through my entire house and I pray over all the windows, the doors, and then the northeast and southwest most walls. And then I go outside. I do the same thing with the front door and the back door from the outside. And then I go to the four corners of my property and basically pray a protection over the property line. I tend to go kind of hard with it, and I don't do it. You know, it's not something I do every day. It's not something I do once a week even. Mostly just when I'm noticing spiritual warfare ramp up, or when something important's coming up, you know, like if there's a important wedding coming up, or, you know, if somebody's getting baptized soon, that's a good time to do it, when there's something important getting ready to come up. So it's not like a regular, like, everyday kind of thing. And so when I am going to do it, I'm going to consecrate my house. I'm going to really get myself out of my comfort zone, and I'm going to really focus on the Lord. And my prayers along that way, they can change and adapt to, you know, what's going on in my world at that time. And so, and at the same time, while I am praying, I'm praying that if there are any demonic spirits in my home, that the Lord would cast them out. So while I'm going room to room, praying for each door and window, I'm also praying a blessing and praying that God would cast out any demonic forces from that room and from that house. And so, So outside of casting the demonic out of your house, you know, it's like I said, it's Moses telling the Israelites to put blood over their doorposts so that the angel of death would pass over them. So we're basically saying, you know, we're putting blood over our house so that any forces for evil would pass over this house and not come in. That's kind of how, I anoint my house. It's, you don't need to drown your windows, you know, like I said, I just put a little bit of oil. I mean, like, I touch the oil and then I rub it into my fingers, and then I touch the four corners. And then actually on the top, I should say, instead of just like a line, I make a cross because I want it to represent Jesus for me. And that represents Jesus for me. So actually, if you look really closely, you can sometimes see little oil crosses above our windows and our doorways and of our house. You kind of have to look close because I don't drown it in oil, but I do use enough that you can see the oil there. It's actually kind of cool. And so sometimes when I'm walking out the door, I'll actually, this kind of for me, you know, when I'm walking out the door, and I'm leaving my wife and son home. When I walk out the door and I see that cross from when I anointed the house, you know, sometimes it gives me a little bit of peace of mind that this house is anointed in the name of Jesus. And so it kind of gives me a little bit more of a peace as I leave. Or if I'm just sitting there and I happen to look up and I see the anointing oil on the window or something, kind of gives me that. Yeah. My house is consecrated unto the Lord. And it helps bring in that peace. And then if there is any spiritual warfare going on, you know, I feel like it helps me to cast out the demonic or anything like that, because, and to cast out the demonic from your home, you just pray, "Dear Lord, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you would cast out any demonic forces from this room. And in the name of Jesus, by the power given to me by Jesus, and the authority that I have as the tenant of this place, I cast any demonic forces out of this home and out of this room, out of this whatever." And that's kind of how you pray to anoint and to cast out any demonic forces from your house. You can use, I came across this online, the prayer that just basically says, "With the sign of this cross and the anointing of this oil, I'm making a declaration that this house belongs to the Lord Jesus, and that no sickness, no death, thief, or evil can enter this home. This oil is a symbol of the blood of Jesus Christ. No weapons that are formed against us or this property shall prosper, and any destruction must pass over us in the name of Jesus. We are safe and protected under the blood of Jesus." That's a good one. That's a powerful one, because it's representing and showing a representation of the blood of Jesus. And it's basically, you know, a kind of the oil almost signifies the blood of Jesus. It's the blood of the Passover lamb. It's almost representing that. And that's powerful. And it doesn't have to be exactly like that. It doesn't have to be exactly like mine. Make it your own, but you get the idea. Jesus owns your house. God owns your house. The oil is a symbol of Jesus' blood, and it is a symbol of Christ's blessing and anointing, giving the protection and protection over your home and its occupants. It's that simple. That both seems complicated and simple at the same time, and it is. We only need to make it as complicated as we need to. We don't need to make it ritualistic or overcomplicated. But I think it is important. So again, the kind of oil, olive oil is good. Mineral oil, if you're allergic to olive oil, or if you want something that has no scent at all, which I will say when you use olive oil, you don't smell it. It doesn't all of a sudden, your house doesn't smell like olive oil. If you can get oil that's been used, that's basically same setup as the olden times, do it. There's places online that you can buy pre-made oil that's already mixed the same way that they did, that the Lord commanded Moses in Exodus. You can actually buy that pre-done in vials. It's a little more expensive than going out and buying olive oil, but that way you have the vial and everything too. Real easy to find. You can find them on Amazon. Just look and actually vet where it's coming from. You can buy oil that's made. You can buy olive oil that's made in, specifically in Jerusalem. That's kind of cool. I think that's the oil I have now, is a pomegranate oil that was made in Jerusalem, using olive oil and pomegranate, I believe. But anyway, you can use whatever you want. As I say that I use that, most of the reason I use that is because it already comes pre-made in vials, and that's just easier for me. And so it's not too expensive, and so that's what I do. You can put other ingredients in it. You can do however you want to do it. However you want to do it, whatever it means to you. Don't put too much credit in the oil. That we lose sight of the fact that it's important is because of the anointed one, which is Jesus. The power isn't in oil. The power is in Jesus. And so we don't have to add anything to it. We can just use basic oil if we want to. Mineral oil works. I mean, if it's important to you, you can always have a pastor pray over the oil once you put it in a vial. As a pastor, I know I've given out an oil that I've anointed to small group leaders at times. Sometimes for them, it can come with the extra power, the extra anointing of your pastor. And there's no difference between your pastor's prayers and your prayers. But if it adds a little more authority to you in your mind and your heart, that it came from both you and your pastor. But I would say even if your pastor prays for it, you need to go and pray over it and anoint it for yourself too. Because really, you have the same power. And so make sure that you use your authority as well. Basically, just pray that the oil will be a symbol of God's protection and his anointing over your house, and that it will represent the blood of Jesus. As long as you do that, you pretty much are good. You can find examples online. I think from the same source I found that other one. It says basically, Holy Spirit, I know that all power comes from you. Every anointing comes from you, and I ask that you would bless this anointing oil for use as I pray over myself, my family, my friends, my home, and others. I pray that you would use it as an agent of your love and mercy towards us. I'm doing this according to your word in James 5:14, where you say that we should anoint with oil when we pray over the sick. I also do this as a symbol of your protection over my home and my family. It is a representation of your blood, Jesus, that covers. I know that this is completely powerless until you've rested upon it and made it holy. So I am asking that you rest upon it and make it holy. I am setting it aside as consecrated and holy only for your work, Lord. And I thank you for blessing it and enriching it with your spirit. Speak to me whenever you need me to use this oil. And I pray that in the spiritual realm it is seen as a symbol of your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. That's a good one. That's better than the one I use. Maybe I should start using that one. But basically, that's kind of the gist of what you want to pray over it. That, in a nutshell, is anointing. Anointing oil and anointing with oil. And so I'm going to pray for you. I pray that whoever is listening to this, as they begin to venture out in using anointing oil, I pray that you Holy Spirit, that your power would go with it, that whatever oil they are going to use, whatever prayers that they have, that they would like to bless their home with, I pray that it would come to fruition, Lord, that you would protect them, that you would protect them as they create the olive oil or the anointing oil, that you would protect them as they use the anointing oil, and Lord, that you would protect them as they go forward in praying protection and peace over their home and the others and themselves. Lord, I pray that you would be with them, that your spirit would fall upon them, and they could hear and hear your voice and feel your presence. And it is in your name we pray, Jesus. Amen. All right. And from there, go out, anoint with oil, and be blessed.